We're talking with Mark Sauter. He is a candidate for Idaho Legislative District 1 State Representative seat A. Mark, thanks for taking time to get with us.
Oh, and thanks for inviting me.
Well, let's start out with an introduction for those who may not be acquainted with you. Tell us a bit about your background, how long you've been here, how you wound up here, your experience and qualifications.
Okay, thanks. I'm Mark Sauter. I visited North Idaho in 1969 on a family camping trip to Priest Lake. Stayed there, really kind of fell in love with the place. And
hard not to, Priest Lake.
Yeah, it's I rode a little motorcycle around on the Forest Service roads and made friends with some people in the campground. It was just like, hey, this is a pretty good place, and I never really forgot it. I've returned many times. In the early 90s, I came up here and looked at property and ended up buying some acreage out in Sagal off Dufort Road out near Willow Bay. I still have it, so I've been a family forester ever since. I initially went to forestry school when I graduated from high school because I really wanted to, you know, spend my life in the woods. I just love it. And so that's really why I'm here. Mountains, trees, and water. Mm-hmm. It's simple. I did not end up being a forester. I ended up applying myself and becoming a firefighter. So I spent 30 years as a firefighter, worked through all the different ranks, and ultimately was appointed to be the fire chief for 8.5 years.
Okay, where was that?
So in Southern California.
Okay.
So yep, I am from Southern California.
Yeah. Okay. As are many here, yes.
So, but anyway, this is a pretty special and unique place. Kept coming back and forth. And as I got closer to retirement, I thought, you know, that I want to go back there and just live there. Mm-hmm. So I've lived here since 2012, initially in Sandpoint. Now I live in the rural part of Dover. I've lived up there since 2016. Mm-hmm. So
So as fire chief, you're responsible for employees and budget?
Oh yeah, we had, the department I was with had four stations. We had 120,000 people that lived in the town that I was in. I was responsible for all the operations and all the administration, hiring, you know, all of those things. Mm-hmm. With firefighters, where I had almost 100 people that worked with the department. Mm-hmm. between firefighting and dispatching and all that, and then reported to the city council. So I have experience with government. I've written, you know, fire policy for our city, and so I have a lot of experience with all of that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't like administrative stuff in government, but that's just part of life. If you want to serve your community and you want to really make a difference, then you'd adapt to those things. Mm-hmm. So as a firefighter, you don't begin that way, but you grow into it. Mm-hmm. And while I was working as a firefighter, I earned a bachelor's degree and a master's degree doing that, because I did want to continue to promote and do a good job for my community and actually do a good, you know, be a good example for my kids. Mm-hmm. So that was important.
And you have kids?
I do.
Yeah.
I have two. Now young adults. My son's a Navy pilot over in Whidbey Island, and my daughter's a prosecuting attorney out in Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. So my kids kind of followed me into service for their
communities. They spread it out across the country.
Yeah, it's not easy to stay in touch with them. Luckily, there's texting and phones. But yeah. At any rate, it's been a good run, and really, I'm here because I want to continue to serve. Mm-hmm. I've been here 10 years in Sandpoint area. I'm real active with the high school. I still volunteer there. I don't have any kids there, but I help put some fundraising things together, and I flip burgers at the high school every football game. Mm-hmm. And then I'm still active with the fire department here. I'm the president of the fire chiefs group here in our county. And then I still do administrative and fire prevention work with the fire department here. So I still have a little bit of hand in that.
Okay. Selkirk Fire Department?
Yes, yeah. With the Selkirk yeah. Fire Department. Okay. Yeah.
Well, you just answered the why are you running question.
Yeah. Okay.
Kind of a follow-up on that. So the legislature is typically in session from January through March or April. but you're representing your constituents year-round. So question would be, how much time can you devote to this position if you get elected?
Well, I'm retired, so I have, you know, I keep an active, busy schedule for my own things, mm-hmm. my own projects, but I can apply myself completely. Mm-hmm. So I don't have anything that keeps me, you know, staying here. So I can easily go to Boise and spend some time there. Actually, this last year, I made 3 different trips to Boise to watch and see how the legislature works, mm-hmm. sit through hearings, sit through general sessions. I met some of the different legislators and senators because I wanted to make sure if I was going to run that I knew what I would be getting into, and I know I can do this.
Yeah, it's actually pretty interesting, fascinating how the wheels of government work down there.
It is, yeah.
Well, let's get on to the issues. What do you consider to be the biggest issues in the House race that you think or you'd like voters to consider when they decide how to vote?
Well, I think we need to work on, you know, back to kind of our unique area. We don't live in just a resort area. We really have a working economy here. We have, you know, in Boundary County, we have quite a bit of agriculture. Mm-hmm. We have timber throughout the whole district. You know, we also have manufacturing. It's kind of interesting. We build airplanes at our airport, mm-hmm. and not just airplanes, but airplane parts. Mm-hmm. And we build pontoons for airplanes in Priest River. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a tech business just down the street here. Mm-hmm. And so if you think about it, we have a pretty unique place. So anyway, back to, you know, things that are important. I think job retention and job growth are very important for us. When I go around, I've tried to apply myself and interview quite a few people in the district. There's a lot of unfilled vacancies for jobs, and a lot of them are for skilled workers, whether it's a welder or, you know, some nursing staff. But we have the ability. There's a career technical education program at the high schools that if we continue to support that and even make it better, we could help fill some of those job openings with our own people. And we have 400 or 500 kids every year graduate from high school that could go into fields that are good paying jobs, but we need to make sure that they're prepared for that. And that would help our own economy. Another part of it is most of our high school kids have housing. So we're not trying to recruit people from Spokane or from out of the area to come in, and then they find out it's tough for housing here. We all know that. Mm-hmm. So if we can kind of grow our own, and I think in a number of ways that really helps. Mm-hmm. So jobs, job retention and job growth, limit our regulations on our employers. I think if we really watch that, we've done really well in Idaho. As far as a job, you know, environment, mm-hmm. and that didn't just happen the last 6 months. We've done that for years. So I think we need to really keep an eye on that, watch our regulations, and watch the business environment. We need to keep our infrastructure up, so not just roads, but broadband and all the other things that businesses really need to thrive here. But I think if we just keep trying to keep that engine going, I think that's certainly one of the major things. Since I have a background in community safety and, you know, public safety, for me, that would be the second issue that I'd talk about. And that is we need to continue to support our law enforcement, fire and EMS community. That's common ground for everyone. I've been backed by the state firefighters and the Fraternal Order of Police. They both looked at me, vetted me, and said, you know, this would be a good candidate to support our groups. So public safety is very important to me. And then last, not just last, but another item that I'm really interested in is what I call the fairness in our tax system. You know, we have a lot of people that are interested in our property tax, and then some, there's some interest in the grocery tax. But I feel like we really need to look at comprehensively how we pay for government, and whether it's sales tax, property tax, grocery tax, fuel tax, state tax. There needs to be a balance of that. So
do you think that the balance is out of whack right now, or would you favor any of those sources over the other?
Right now, I think we still need to have a balance. There's discussion that we just need to have a consumption tax. The downside of that, that I haven't found a good answer for yet, is that's the consumption tax, yes, taxes everyone, and it's all on consumption and use, and you can control that. That's a good side. The downside is, right now, the sales tax, the money that comes back to the community, is based on population. So, for instance, for Ponderé, they're an economic driver for sales tax for our whole district.
Mm-hmm. You have those big retail shops out there, yeah.
But they bring very little of that money back to the community.
Yeah, a lot of folks don't know that. The sales tax goes down to the state, and the state may or may not give you some of that back.
Yeah, so that formula, and a few years ago, they made it just population-based, is the way I understand it. So we really have to look at that. It's like one thing, okay, we'll make this better by just going to a consumption tax, but how does that money come back to your area? And I think that's the other part of the comprehensive that needs to be looked at, is, okay, now what are all the consequences of whatever we do? Because usually it'd be great if we could figure out a way that we would all pull on the oars together. And it's not always going to be as fair for everyone, but right now it seems like a lot of our tax situation is put onto the property owners' backs. And somehow I think we need to look at that, because right now it seems like the burden for our taxes has shifted to property owners. So I think we have to really give that a good evaluation.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of the sales tax, one thing that's come up the last two or three sessions is whether a sales tax should be applied to groceries. We currently have that, but residents do get a rebate on, it's not huge, each year. Do you think that's adequate, the way it's being handled, or would you be in favor of getting rid of this, the tax on groceries?
I'd like to see us get rid of it. It's it's something that we all have to have. I'd like to see us get rid of it, but the numbers that I have right now is we bring in about $25 million in our state through the grocery tax. So how do we figure that out? Are we, can we cut $25 million out of our budget? Can we reduce that? Can we improve the rebates that everybody gets? If you're a family of four, it's $480, I think, right now. And I think there's even an increase if you're 65 and over in that. But, I'm a single guy, and the $120 doesn't really replace my grocery tax.
Yeah, right.
So we need to work on that. Again, it look at the consequences of all these different policies and see what we can do to improve it.
Mm-hmm. Well, got time for a couple questions here. So the legislature came into session this past session with a record budget surplus of almost $2 billion. So did you approve of the way they decided to allocate some of that surplus? That part of it went to a income tax cut and rebate, part of it went into infrastructure, part of it went into education. What did you think about how they handled the budget surplus?
Well, number one, it's tough to know when you really don't know all the facts about it and how exactly everything played out. It seemed reasonable to me to try and plan for the future, to invest in infrastructure. There's hundreds of million dollars of money that's going towards infrastructure. I agree we should invest in our educational system. The state's kind of backed out of some of the educational money, and they're trying to fund it to a higher level. I think in the last 30 or 40 years, we've gone from having school districts across the state that 20% had levies. Now we're at like 80%.
80 plus. Right?
So
yeah.
It's a tough deal.
And that falls all on the property tax.
Right.
People that pay the property tax.
So I think we need to work on, continue to look at that. But generally, you asked, I think it was reasonable to divide the money up that way. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about the exact numbers, but I could see how you'd want to plan for the future, save for a rainy day, and put your money in now, and invest it.
Okay, I think we only got time for another question or so, but here's one that I like to ask. Politics have gotten more polarizing in recent years. Do you see ways to find common ground among your constituents, and how would you, if you're elected, go about representing those that may have different ideas or didn't vote for you?
I've made a practice of walking around. I talk to a lot of people, the farmers in Boundary County, the foresters. I've toured businesses, and almost everybody has common ground in that we have infrastructure issues, we have education issues. Everybody wants our area to be a good place to raise their kids and raise their families. So those are the things that I think we all have about 80% that we really live with and agree on. I try and make that as the foundation of a good relationship. I have met some people that may not agree with everything that I support. But I find that if you work on that common ground, that's a good place to start rather than talking about what we disagree on, to actually talk about what we agree on. And I find that that's a calming effect with everybody or with most people. Mm-hmm. So that's a good place to start, I think.
Okay. We got less than a minute here. How can people find out more about you?
I have a website, Mark Sauter for Idaho, and the four is spelled out. You can go to my website and learn more about me. There's a social media page. I think that's also Mark Sauter for Idaho that's up.
Facebook, yeah.
And on Facebook. And there's on my website, there's contact information for me. People can call or email me and ask questions if they like. Mm-hmm. I'll be out and about and knocking on doors from now until the election day. So,
okay, as this airs, that's less than a week away. So yeah. You're in the home stretch, Mark.
Thanks,
Mark Sauter. You're the candidate for Idaho Legislative District 1 CA. Thank you for taking time to talk with us.
Well, I really appreciate it. Thank you, and I ask for your vote.